Imagine for a moment, what if a workout, one you might just think of for, physical grace or sculpting, what if it was actually a secret weapon?
A secret weapon
Yeah.
against what?
Against the stuff we don't always see, anxiety, depression, just that constant buzz of modern stress. We're always looking for ways to feel better, right? Not just stronger, but like mentally settled.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. That's a big ask for an exercise routine, though.
It is. And that's exactly what we're getting into in today's deep dive. We're looking closely at Pilates, going beyond the usual ideas about it, exploring it as, well, a holistic practice.
Holistic, with real impacts on mental well-being.
That's the claim. And potentially some surprising ones.
All right, so for this deep dive, our mission really is to give you the full picture. We're looking at a new study, an observational one from the University of Parma. Fresh scientific insights there.
Okay, so current research.
Yes, but also grounding it. We're pulling in historical context, the philosophy behind it, from places like Power Pilates. So you get the whole story.
Nice. So we'll cover what Pilates really is beyond the basics.
Exactly. Unpack it, look at this new evidence, and then try to figure out the mechanics. How does it potentially work for your mind?
Okay, let's dive in then. Pilates. I mean, I confess, my first thought is often strong abs, flexibility, that kind of thing.
That's super common.
But you mentioned the philosophy runs deeper. What's the biggest thing people miss about its original purpose, beyond just looking good?
Well, you kind of nailed the common view. It's often seen just for the physical results, but the origins, much more profound. It starts with Joseph Pilates himself,
Right.
and he originally called his method contrology.
Contrology, interesting name.
Isn't it? And his drive was really personal, came from his own childhood, health issues, asthma, rickets, rheumatic fever, serious stuff.
Wow,
So his vision, his whole aim was about physical fitness being, this is his phrase, the first requisite of happiness. It was truly about mind and body well-being, completely integrated.
The first requisite of happiness,
Okay.
that hits differently than just get fit. So it wasn't vanity at all.
Not fundamentally. And I found his inspirations fascinating too. Like you mentioned that the Greek ideal of man, this idea of rational body development,
Yeah.
but then also like observing cats stretching while he was interned during World War I, it shows this really unique, almost elemental approach to movement.
Observing cats. It does paint a picture. So this holistic vision, this mind-body thing, how does it actually show up in the exercises? What makes it different from, say, lifting weights or running?
Good question. It manifests in its core characteristics. It's generally low intensity, which surprises some people, but it's full body. Huge emphasis on core muscles, yes, but also balance, coordination, posture, and crucially, this unique, very precise attention to breathing, controlled breathing.
Okay, the breathing component is key, I gather. And didn't he have some kind of analogy for how it worked inside the body? Something about a shower?
He did, yes, the internal shower. That was his analogy.
Tell me more about that.
He used it to describe this deep cleansing effect he believed the exercises had, enhancing blood circulation, really efficiently getting oxygenated blood to every muscle fiber, even tiny capillaries that, might get neglected as we age.
So like washing you out from the inside.
Kind of. The imagery really points to that internal revitalizing effect he was going for, systemic invigoration almost.
An internal shower. Wow. Okay, I think just hearing that already starts to shift your perspective a bit, doesn't it? It's not just about building muscle, it's about renewal.
Exactly. Internal cleansing, revitalization.
So for someone maybe still thinking, okay, but it's low intensity, how much can that really do for my stress levels? What's the scientific link? How do we get from that internal shower idea to actual measurable mental benefit?
And that is the perfect bridge to the modern research.
Yeah.
Because Joseph Pilates was definitely way ahead of his time talking about mind-body connection.
Right.
But now we have science starting to catch up, backing it up with data, moving beyond just analogy.
Which brings us right to that University of Parma study you mentioned. This feels like where we get some concrete answers or at least pointers. What were they trying to find out?
Okay, so this is an observational study. They compared 25 people, ages 50 to 65, who were actively doing Pilates,
Right.
to 24 people in the same age range who were controls, so not active. And this went on for 3 months.
And what kind of Pilates were they doing? Was it super intense, specialized stuff?
No, and that's important. It was weekly mat work sessions using some small tools like the magic circle, the softball, things you often see in classes.
Okay, so pretty accessible, like what someone might encounter if they just started.
Exactly. Representing a kind of typical, gentle introduction for many people.
And the results, you said they were compelling.
They were. The study found statistically significant decreases in anxiety, depression, and also somatization in the Pilates group compared to the control.
Somatization, that's when stress shows up physically, right? Like headaches or stomach issues.
Precisely. So improvements across those areas. But what really jumped out, as you noted earlier, was this thing about stress risk behaviors, specifically their ability to benefit from downtime.
Yeah, tell me more about that, the taking one's mind away part. Why is that finding so significant, especially now?
Well, it's critical because the Pilates group showed this really noticeable improvement in genuinely disengaging during their free time,
yep.
Actually using it to mentally step away from work commitments, you know?
Uh-huh.
And this is important because so much previous Pilates research focused on clinical groups, people dealing with MS or cancer recovery, chronic pain.
Right, specific conditions.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But this study highlights benefits for a general non-clinical population. It speaks directly to that everyday modern challenge of managing stress and truly switching off. It kind of fills a gap in what we know.
That feels huge. I mean, speaking personally, that struggle to switch off is real. You can be sitting on the sofa, but your brain's still running a mile a minute.
Absolutely. Physically resting, mentally racing.
Yeah. So the idea that Pilates could actually train your ability to mentally disconnect, to find that peace in downtime, that's incredibly relevant. Genuinely exciting, actually.
It suggests a practical tool for that very modern problem.
Okay, so stepping back then, how does it work? How does moving your body in these like careful, controlled ways lead to these kinds of mental and emotional shifts? It can't just be magic, right? There have to be reasons.
Definitely not magic. The researchers propose a few key mechanisms working together. First off, the breathing.
We circle back to breathing, okay.
It's fundamental in Pilates. It's diaphragmatic, controlled breathing. This helps promote something called cardiac coherence.
Cardiac coherence. Sounds technical.
It basically means helping your heart rate variability become more regular, more balanced. And this directly influences the balance between your sympathetic nervous system.
Fight or flight.
Right. And your parasympathetic system.
Rest and digest.
Exactly. So by improving that balance, Pilates breathing can directly dial down that hyperarousal state we get stuck in with chronic stress and anxiety.
Okay. So calming the nervous system via the breath. Makes sense. What else?
Second, there's a big mindfulness component. Pilates is often described as a somatic practice, meaning body-focused, but with mindfulness baked right in.
How so?
Because during every move, you have to pay close attention to the quality of the movement, your posture, coordinating it with your breath.
Yeah.
It forces you into the present moment, into body awareness.
Oh, so you can't really zone out.
Not if you're doing it correctly.
Yeah.
And we know from lots of other research that this kind of present moment body awareness is linked to fewer symptoms of anxiety and depression and better emotional regulation. You're consciously connecting, not letting your mind drift off to worries.
Right. Breath calms the system. Focus quiets the mind. Is there a third piece?
There is. The neuromuscular engagement, the actual muscle work.
Okay.
Because you're doing these controlled activations, especially of deep stabilizing muscles, it helps reduce chronic muscle tension.
Mm.
You know, that tight neck, tight shoulders thing many stressed people have.
Oh, I know it well.
Pilates targets that. And regular practice also improves proprioception.
Body awareness in space.
Yep. Knowing where your limbs are without looking. And just better neuromuscular control overall. This seems to reduce how reactive your body is to stress, both through physical changes and neurological pathways. Essentially teaching your body not to overreact.
Wow. Okay. So if I'm getting this right, it's not just movement. It's deliberate breath, calming your nerves. It's present moment focus, quieting your thoughts. And it's deep muscle work, releasing physical tension and reducing reactivity.
That's a great summary. It's an integrated system.
Hitting stress from multiple angles. And you also mentioned something about like the simplicity of mat work and tools like the softball, how even that can help.
Yeah, the source has pointed out that using simple tools, especially to support sensitive areas like the lower back, the sacrum, or the neck, that itself can induce feelings of pleasure, relaxation, deep well-being.
Like a physical ah moment.
Exactly. And that physical letting go, maybe especially felt when you remove the support, can really reinforce that mental letting go the study found.
Yeah.
That ability to disengage.
That makes total sense. It's not just abstract working out. It feels like a very intentional conversation you're having between your body and your mind. directly influencing your stress and emotions.
Sophisticated conversation, yeah.
So, okay, the PARMA study had limitations, smaller size, mostly women, typical stuff for initial studies.
Right. Need more research, broader population.
For sure. But the implications still feel significant for just general well-being. And beyond that specific study, there's this bigger picture, right? The philosophy Joseph Pilates himself had, which seems almost eerily relevant today.
Absolutely. And we shouldn't forget the social aspect either.
Good point.
Our sources highlighted that group Pilates, like other group activities, can really help combat loneliness.
Which is a huge issue.
Massive. And less loneliness leads to greater life satisfaction, happiness, people rating their own health better.
Mm-hmm.
Super relevant now, especially thinking about, you know, social isolation trends post-pandemic recovery.
Yeah, the community aspect is powerful. And it ties back to Joseph Pilates' whole view, doesn't it? He wasn't just designing exercises in a vacuum.
Not at all. He actively disliked the monotony he saw in, like, post-industrial office work. He felt it drained vitality.
He saw it as soul-crushing.
Pretty much. He pushed for an alternative lifestyle, one that promoted pleasure through movement to mastering your body. He kind of dismissed age as just a number, believing his exercises offered anti-aging benefits and real relief from that hustle culture, burnout fatigue, low energy.
It sounds like he was railing against modern life before it even got this crazy.
In many ways, yes. And there's that incredible anecdote which really shows his conviction during World War I when he was interned.
The Isle of Man, right.
Yes. He kept up his rigorous training, got fellow internees involved. And the story goes that his group, the ones doing his demanding routine, they apparently didn't get the Spanish flu.
Seriously. While it was devastating the world.
That's the account. Millions died globally, but his little group seemingly protected. Now, it's anecdotal, obviously, not a controlled study.
Of course, but still.
But it powerfully illustrates his deep belief that his method built incredible resilience. Physical, yes, but you have to think mental resilience too.
That WWI story.
Yeah.
It's kind of mind-blowing. Surviving a pandemic, possibly through sheer discipline and this specific training, it just hammers home his conviction.
It really does.
It makes you think, what kind of mindset does that point to? What does Pilates cultivate beyond just the physical?
I think it speaks to that holistic, almost preventative idea he had. Cultivating a mind and body that are so attuned, so resilient, they can better withstand external pressures, whether that's a virus or, you know, modern stress.
A sense of inner control, maybe.
Yeah.
Robustness.
Exactly. Deep self-mastery leading to robustness. It's a powerful vision.
And it really helps frame this practice with all its history in the community side as a kind of counter-narrative to today's pressures. It's encouraging this mindful, maybe even defiant way to live a long, happy, resilient life.
Well said.
So wrapping up our deep dive today, it seems pretty clear that Pilates is, well, much more than just toning up. It looks like a genuinely powerful, integrated tool for building mental resilience, finding some peace.
Yeah, the evidence suggests that even just a weekly practice can make a real dent in anxiety, depression, stress.
And crucially, help improve that ability to actually relax, to disconnect from the nonstop demands.
It really does bring Joseph Pilates' own words back into focus.
Mm-hmm.
Physical fitness is the first requisite of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And his original name for it, Contrology, aimed to help you return to life, to find that balance, that vitality, that self-mastery.
Return to life. I like that. So maybe the question for you listening is, what small step could you take this week? A small, consistent step to bring a bit more Contrology into your life.
More conscious movement, maybe? Deliberate breathing? Just more present awareness?
Could a little Pilates, maybe surprisingly, be a key to unlocking a more balanced, more joyful, and mentally stronger you? Helping you, maybe, return to life?